Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Man, it's been too long.
It's crazy.
You know what? Here's the thing. Our schedules got super crazy the last, what, month? 3 weeks?
Well, you know, I did have to go spend some time on the beach.
Well, I mean, if you got a girl.
Right.
But but in between that and, you know, work calls and things like that, you know, it's been a minute. So
yeah, it's hard sometimes. You know, we've said this before, but we're in IT, and so sometimes things break.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they break, you got to be there to fix it.
You got to be there to fix it. And especially if you have to get TAC on the line, you know, to help you because it's above your.
That's right.
You know.
Above your pay grade.
Above my pay grade. Yeah. So I finally got all those things worked out and everything's running smooth today.
Yeah, good.
So.
I mean, you know, I'd hope it'd be running smooth at the hospital.
It needs to be. And then on top of that, they threw a new project in where the building that I'm actually in. They're going to close the clinics in that building. So it's just going to be first floor admin now.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to get one of the old patient rooms.
Yeah, why not?
Move my office up there. I got my own bathroom and, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Why are they doing that?
Well, a couple of different reasons. The major reason is because the revenue that's coming in from those two clinics doesn't generate enough to bring – those clinics, the facilities that those clinics are housed in, up to Vanderbilt standards.
So they're going to just move them to a new building?
No, they're going to move them downtown. So they're going to close
100 Oaks or something?
Just downtown. Well, the behavioral science psych unit, they're going to move that down to the Vanderbilt Psychiatric Hospital.
Makes sense.
And then rehab, they'll just roll that in with Stallworth downtown.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah.
All right.
Speaking of Stallworth, our buddy Smalls is in Stallworth.
Yeah. How's he doing?
Yeah, he's doing good.
That's good.
He's doing good. So.
Yeah.
That was a scary situation, man.
Horrible.
Yeah. We went to see him, or I went to see him a week ago today.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was still unconscious and you know, and I spoke to his wife and I prayed over him and, you know, I hate to see somebody in that, you know.
Yeah. It's scary because, you know, the first thing that you heard is like, it's not that bad.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're like, well, you know.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. So they, you know, they had to do some emergency stuff and get some things straightened out. But yeah, praise God, he's doing better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that it continues to get better.
Yeah, it does. It does. The last thing I got yesterday afternoon, I haven't heard today, haven't talked to Dump Truck, but yesterday afternoon, he was doing a whole lot better.
Yeah.
You know, and he was able to talk and, you know, things like that. So. You know, feed himself and things.
Well, that's
great.
That's great. Great, great, great.
Yep.
All right. So we want to jump right back into parables, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, we did a couple, like three or four. Then we took a week off to talk about something else. Mm-hmm. Then we, you know, jumped into a couple more.
Yep.
And so today we're going to come back with the wise and foolish builders.
Yep. Right? Vacation Bible School song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is – we'll take it out of Matthew 7, verses 24 to...
Was it go to 27.
24 to 27.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll do it out of the NIV.
Okay.
It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great crash."
Mm.
So, you know, I read that and I think, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, to a point.
But is it?
No. When I read this passage and, you know, I kidded about this being a Vacation Bible School song that kids sing, you know, wise man built his house, you know, the teaching in this is so strong, valid, and to the point for us.
Yeah.
Because of our need to build our foundation of our spiritual life on Christ.
Right.
And when we look away from that, and we take our foundation into what we think would be a good one. You know, I'm sure this guy that built his house upon the sand was like looking at the beach.
Oh, he was like, this is amazing.
You know,
right? Every day I wake up, yeah, and see the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the first time the storm comes through, it, you know, crashes his place. And I think about like home construction, mm-hmm. you know, and I think about what it takes to get into making sure that your house foundation is right.
Yeah.
You know, when we lived out in Bethpage, we had foundation issues with the house that we lived in because of the way that the rain sloped down mm-hmm. from the front of the house to the back. And so, you know, the house was in a good spot, you know, basically, but preparations weren't made around that house
right.
to divert that water around it. Right. Yeah. And so when you build a house into a rock foundation,
yeah.
there's got to be preparation made in order for that rock foundation, for that foundation to be right on that rock.
I agree with that. How many times do you think, you know, we say the guy built it on the sand?
Right.
Right? And that's what the scripture says. The storm comes and he blows it away.
Right.
How many times in people's lives do you see them rebuild right in the same spot?
A lot.
Really think about that.
Yeah.
Right? That they're like, well, yeah, that sucked. Let me just do it again. Yeah.
Didn't work the first time. Try right? again.
Well, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
That just happens. Can't explain why.
Yeah, it's just one of them things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they rebuild it in the same place. And it may stand for a year or two mm-hmm. years or 5 years or whatever.
Right.
But eventually the storm's going to come.
Exactly.
Right.
Something's going to come along that's going to trip you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so when I think about my walk with Christ, you know, my foundation wasn't the rocks.
True.
Right?
True.
And bad things kept happening in my life, you know, BC, before Christ.
Right, 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 right.
Bad things kept happening. I'd be like, well, that's just karma, or
right.
I'm unlucky, or, you know, whatever excuse I made for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was just an excuse.
Just an excuse.
Yeah.
Whatever excuse it was, and it was right. a bad one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Right? No matter what your intention was with it.
Didn't matter what I said.
Yeah.
They were always bad excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept building it right back on the sand.
Zach, there's a helicopter coming by, folks. They're not yeah. looking for either one of us, I yeah. promise you.
Maybe.
Yeah. And we oftentimes we make those excuses to ourselves to make ourselves believe instead of making somebody else believe.
Yeah.
What that, you know, what the reasoning for that was.
Yeah.
Now, when we, you know, you're talking about building in our lives, building right back on top of what, you know, that definition of insanity keeps coming back to mind.
Yeah.
You know, doing the same thing over and over. Expecting different yeah. results.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we allow those reasonings that we want ourselves to believe so that we can portray those reasons to other people yeah. to be the truth.
Yeah.
Instead of what we know is the truth.
Yeah. You know, I think about people in recovery,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a lot of people that I know that have not been successful in recovery.
Sure.
And I'll ask them, like, have you tried the 12 steps?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work.
Well,
I'm not saying it's for everybody.
No.
But have you tried it?
But it's a proven program.
I mean, I know lots of people have been successful with it.
And here's what I have found. And you know, August the 1st, I'll have 15 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
So the thing that I found was I looked back at my own life when I would hear people say, oh, the steps don't work. You know, and I would get to like the third step and go, I got this.
Yeah.
You know,
to finish.
And then a week later, I'd be drinking again
yeah.
or be using again, you know. So I look back at in a comparison of my life of when I would say, well, the steps don't work, you know, and it wasn't until I actually worked the steps.
That's right.
That they actually did work.
Right.
So when people say that, you know, all the steps don't work, is it an application issue? You know, is it because you got bored with, you know, what your life could be yeah. instead of what you want a fun life to be, or is, you know,
Because that's where their foundation was.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Their foundation was rooted in the wrong place. It was rooted in sand, which is never going to be
working. Never going to be working. But, right? And that's what the steps teach you,
yeah,
is to put your foundation here.
That's right.
In the rock.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if it's a secular recovery with 12 steps or if it's a Christian recovery with 12 steps.
That's right.
You're building a solid foundation on rock.
That's right.
That's going to withstand storms and things that come along in your life.
Yeah.
Is that a mic drop moment?
Probably. I'm going to read this. This is, I have 100 different Bibles.
Right.
Right. This is my every man's Bible.
Oh, I like that Bible.
Yeah. And it's got a little commentary about verses 24 to 27.
Yeah.
And it says, there are two kinds of life-building foundations. One foundation is as solid as a rock, the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. The other is like shifting sand, the foundation of human pride and selfish endeavor.
Mm.
Our lives might be outwardly impressive, but if they are built on the wrong foundation, difficult circumstances will soon level what we have built. Like a fragile house of cards, our lives will come crashing down. How much better to build our lives in a solid foundation of faith in Christ than in the inevitable storms of life that we will not be moved.
Right.
And I thought about that because it said the house of cards, and I thought about, when you're growing up, you're building these little house of cards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody walks in and slams the door.
Yeah, and it doesn't even touch the cards.
The wind from the door
blows them all down. Or somebody walking through the house heavy-footed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or just on purpose, they like whiff it. They don't touch it.
Right.
It whiffs it, and it all comes crashing down.
Yeah.
Right. But where it said human pride and selfish endeavor.
Isn't that the downfall of everything, human pride and selfish endeavor?
I think it is, personally.
I really do. And we were talking earlier this morning about no other gods before me, right?
That's right. That's right.
And you look at the root of what happens when somebody starts worshiping something that they make into an idol.
Mm-hmm.
It's a selfish ambition, or it's a self-preservation instead of a faith-filled preservation through God and Jesus' salvation.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so you think about how we put that pride and that selfishness at the forefront of our lives, be it for fame, fortune, recognition, accolades, whatever. And all we're doing is building up on what we have accomplished instead of what God can do through us.
That's right.
And it's funny that, you see all these fallen athletes or all these fallen, celebrities or whatever that have, for some reason or another, have, they're blacklisted, where they stood up on stage and slapped a comedian or whatever, you know.
I mean, sometimes they get blacklisted for just sharing their faith.
That's true,
right?
But my point is, every time that a celebrity or an athlete or a person of influence or even a rich person, every time that they fail or fall, or it's because, well, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. I was thinking that this would work.
That's right. Right.
Or
thought it would make me rich.
Right.
But I would be a celebrity again.
But it's just a selfish ambition for them to be back in that catbird seat.
Absolutely it is.
Right.
And so
you brought up the point about celebrities who have been blacklisted for sharing their faith.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill is one.
Yeah.
We look at these people and we look at what the culture is that we're preaching to or trying to be an example to, and we realize that that culture that we are talking to, ministering to, or whatever, in world society is that shifting sand. It's that beachfront, that thought process of, being right. Have you ever noticed the worst calamity in a hurricane is always the beachfront houses?
Always.
Always.
And you know what they do? They build them back.
Right back where they are.
Right back where they were. But this time they're like, well, we're going to
reinforce him.
Right. We're going to elevate him 3 feet. We're going to do all these things to protect him from the storm.
Right. Yeah. But and it never works.
Never.
Never works. No. You know, if you look back at, you know, pictures of Katrina or Ivan or Andrew or, you know, any of the big ones that destroyed, you know.
Sandy.
Yeah. You look back at those pictures and you know, you see pre-hurricane and then you see post-hurricane and they're still cleaning up those sites where those hurricanes were.
Absolutely. 10 years, 15 years later, right? Cleaning it up.
Still cleaning it up.
Still can't inhabit.
Inhabit that whatever area. The word right, is. Yeah.
Right. I'm not a scholar.
Well, neither. I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last
night. That's right. That's
but right. But my point is this. We make these changes and put things back like what you said. We reinforce this post. Yeah. Or we redo this framing on this load-bearing wall. Yeah. Or we raise it so many feet. Or we do, you know, we do this. Yeah. Back up, because another hurricane's coming.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if you believe in climate control or not, or if you believe in, you know, the climate change, or it doesn't matter. There's going to be another storm that's going to come through there.
Now, the thing that, you know, that we got to understand with this parable is that there is a place you can put it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Somewhere on that coast, there's rock.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? And every single coast. Right.
Right. And so when we think about our lives and we think about this human pride or this selfish need, the selfish desire for fame or fortune or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I spent a lot of my life worried about this selfish desire to how, you know, am I going to be this level in my career?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I cared about being that level, I never got there.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But when I put my faith in the rock, the truth.
Exactly.
In Jesus.
Yep.
Oh, look, magically.
Yeah.
I'm where I want to go. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And when we look at our own proposed situation of where we want to go.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me, it never works out the way that we think it should.
Yeah.
But it always works out the way that God wants it to.
Absolutely. You know, I think the question I would ask, or maybe, you know, hope that you could answer for people is, how do you build a foundation on a rock?
That's an awesome question. So here's how I answer that question.
Okay.
Because I've been asked this before. The way that I answer that question is, everything has got to come from the Word of God.
Mm. Yeah.
You do not do anything outside of what His will is.
Yep.
Now, let me. I'm human. I'm going to make a mistake.
We're going to sin.
But now I'm not calling that in as a trump card to go, whoops, well, I'm out of this one scot-free. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
So what I'm saying. What I'm saying is my focus has got to be daily, hourly, minute by minute on what God is. Not what He is in my life.
That's right.
Not what He is on TV.
That's right.
What God is. And how do we find that?
Yeah. And so what I would say to that, because you said, how do we find that? I've heard way too many Christians say, you ain't got to read the Bible.
You know, whatever.
Right. No, I mean, I have.
And I have too. I know.
Right? And I know you have too.
Yeah,
right?
I know exactly.
Or I've heard Christians say, well, you don't got to read the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Look, you want to build a rock on the right foundation?
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the foundation.
Exactly.
You got to know how the foundation was built.
Right.
And the only way to know how it's built is in His – let Him tell you.
It's right there.
His Word tells you how the foundation was made.
Amen. Sure does.
Right?
Sure does.
And why it's strong.
And why it's strong. Exactly.
That's right.
And you can go all the way back into – Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You can go all the way back that far.
That's right.
To see what that rock is.
Yeah.
You know, God wanted that relationship with Adam and Eve personally.
Yeah.
He wanted that relationship from day one to be a conversation.
That's right.
He wanted it to be intimate. And here it is.
And you learn that if you get in His Word.
You do. You do. And that's where you figure out where that foundation, where that rock is,
yeah,
is by being in his word.
There's no other way.
There's not. And so you say, well, hey, Batman, how do you, okay, so I got to read the Bible. You know, where do I go from there? Well, you know what? When you read the Bible, you'll figure it out.
That's right.
Because there is that intimate relationship through prayer with God every single day.
That's right. And if you read it, it'll teach you, right?
Exactly.
Jesus says, this is how I pray to the Father.
Right, right.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be the name. Yeah.
Right. He tells you. So, you know, you know, when I first came to Christ, I'd hear people praying, and I'm like, whoa. I don't think I could ever do that.
Well, that nair's gone 7 minutes and 13 seconds.
You know? But it was more like, I don't know that I'll ever be able to do that.
Right.
Right. But that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not taking away from somebody who can pray an amazing prayer, right?
Well,
there are some prayer warriors.
There are. Right. But eloquence does not make a prayer warrior.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
It does not. And I don't mean that they were eloquent, but I've just heard some prayers that I was like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
was spirit-filled.
Yes.
God is here.
Absolutely.
And I have been, in my life, I've been like, I will never be able to do that.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Now, I don't agree that I'll never be able to do that today.
Well.
Right? Because there are times where I just feel like the Spirit is there and it's like, boom, and he just directs what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time that I was like, no, I don't even know how to pray.
Yeah.
Get in the book.
It's
pray,
right there.
Pray the way it's he right teaches there. You to.
And it's not
and
just.
And that's good enough.
Amen.
But if God wants more, he's going to give it to you.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
The whole thing. You know, you look back into the Psalms.
Yeah.
And here you read about David's cries to the Lord.
Yeah.
I cried out to the Lord for your mercy. I cried out for the Lord for your grace, for your salvation. You know, save me in this time.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the Psalms where David is praying and it records his prayers.
Yeah.
And I think about times in my life where the things that I prayed brought me to tears, or it brought me to just laughter.
Yeah.
For praising, you know, and those things. So when I say eloquence does not match a great prayer, just focusing on what he is, on what God is, and like you said, the things that you know, and you're just pouring from your heart.
That's all it is.
This is an intimate conversation that I have with God the Father.
That's right. That's right.
You know, this is me pouring out to him, me praising him, me thanking him, me asking for his mercies and his grace and his blessings. And I have caught myself in the, you know, at times where those prayers would be, God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me, instead of thinking and thank you and I praise you.
Yeah.
And I bless your name.
I think early I spent way too much time asking God to do.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do this, God, do this. Mm-hmm. God, please do this. God, help me do this.
Yeah.
Right? Do.
Yeah.
I need you to do all of these things in my life.
Right.
And what God was saying is,
I need
to do
what I tell you. Yeah.
You do what I tell you.
Yeah.
And those things that you're praying about don't happen. Do what I tell you, and those problems are fixed.
Yep.
Now, don't mistake what I'm saying. Right? It's not an easy path.
No.
Right?
No.
I don't want you to sit here and think, well, if I do what God says, it's going to be easy.
No, it's not.
It's far
from that.
And his word tells us it's not.
Exactly.
His word tells us
many times
we're going to be
persecuted. Yeah.
Right? But the only way to overcome that storm is to have the right foundation.
Exactly.
Right? That's what this parable is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is
where are you going to put your faith?
Where are you going to put your faith? Right.
Yeah. Yep. Where are you going to start from? Where are you going to build on?
That's right.
And the cool thing about it is building off of that kind of foundation, knowing that those storms are coming.
Yeah.
and knowing that those storms will not collapse what you have begun because of the foundation that you have,
yeah,
is so, so peaceful.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is remember that a foundation can be fixed.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That you may have started with the wrong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you can rebuild it. You can reinforce it. You can move down the road to a new house and build a new foundation.
Sure.
Right?
Exactly.
You see it all the time when you're driving around cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
New house going in here, new house going in there.
Right.
That's the same. Just because you may have, like, I wasn't a good person.
Right.
Right? My foundation was jacked up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying that.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and so, but I have a new foundation.
True.
And so so you can build a new foundation.
Yeah.
And so you can have that strength even if you didn't have it before.
But do you ever stop shoring up that foundation?
Never.
Never, ever.
Never. Because it's just like your house.
Exactly. Right?
I got to maintain our house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't maintain the house, it falls apart.
Exactly.
Right? So the maintenance, the daily maintenance, the weekly maintenance, the annual maintenance, those things are all required for your house to not fall apart.
Right.
Well, your relationship with God is the same way.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
You have to maintain it daily, weekly, monthly, mm-hmm. annually, however
exactly.
infinity that you want to go for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you are not maintaining that relationship, your foundation's going
to
break.
And Rick, how many times does it cost you something to maintain that?
Oh, every time.
Every single time. Case in
it's
point,
not free.
Yeah. Case in point, this Monday, a good friend of mine, great friend of mine, owns his own pest control business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a log cabin. And the carpenter bees this year have been crazy.
Horrible.
Horrible, right? So Buddy comes over. He's like, I'll have this fixed up in a minute, right? So he goes around and he sprays the house. He sprays the foundation of the house. He sprays the eaves of the house. He sprays the entire house on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Sprays my leather shop. Sprays out at my workshop.
Yep.
You know, and so here it is Friday. Buddy was there Monday. And I don't see any carpenter bees. They've moved away. You didn't kill them. He moved them away.
That's right. They just so don't like this new smell.
Right. They don't like what's going on. Yeah. So but that cost me something.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that I had tried up to that point to rid my log cabin of those carpenter bees had failed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I went to somebody that knew what they were doing. Instead of me trying to figure out what I'm doing.
That's right.
So here's my point. That cost me financially.
Yep.
Right? And the damage that's been done by those carpenter bees is going to cost me again, you know, because I've got to fill holes. So you don't build a foundation, or you don't weather that kind of storm, or you don't maintain that without having skin in the game.
Yeah. But let me ask this question to kind of help that illustration maybe. If you didn't have him come out and spray.
Yeah.
And you just continued to ignore it.
Eventually my house would fall down.
Right. You wouldn't have a foundation
Mm-mm.
or a place to live.
Mm-mm.
Right. But because you're doing the work.
Right.
Because you're doing the maintenance that's required.
Yep.
That house will stand for years to come.
Sure.
Right? And hopefully generations, because you're going to continue to maintain it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Same thing goes with our faith.
That's right. Same thing goes with the faith. Maintain it.
Yep.
And it will be there forever.
Forever.
Now, that's been a good one.
Man, I loved it. this is one of those that, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, what parables we wanted to do today. And I love this parable, and I love the scripture from Matthew 7 that we used with it today, and the application in life that we can get out of this that we walk forward with is so encouraging.
Yeah, I think far too often we, as a human nature, overlook some of the simplest things.
We do. Because we're looking like we've talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Selfishness and pride.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
I don't want to put any skin in the game.
Yeah.
That's
I just
not
want it
work.
To be good.
Yeah. It's not going to be.
Well, look, it's been awesome.
Yes, it has.
Hey, again, this is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember, subscribe on any platform of choice that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out on YouTube now. Subscribe, ding the bell.
Yep.
You know, that way you get notification every time we post a new video.
And if you have something that you want us to talk about, or you know, you have a question you want us to, even if you need help finding a local church, we'll help you do that too.
Amen.
Send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org, and Rick and I'll get right back to you just as soon as we get the email.
Absolutely. Last thing, remember, love God
and love people.